Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Unexplained World Internet Radio Broadcast with your host, Edward Shanahan, a paranormal, spiritual observer, and psychic reader, along with Annette, a high priestess and psychic reader. The Unexplained World is a location where the border between the natural and supernatural may become nothing more than fuzzy. So enjoy.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to the May 17th broadcast of The Unexplained World with your host, Edward Shanahan. That's me. And Annette. Hello, Annette.
Hello, Ed.
How you doing, kiddo?
I'm fine. How about yourself tonight?
I'm doing just peachy.
Oh, good.
You know, yeah. Happy Sunday to everybody, and tomorrow's Monday. So our guest tonight will be Mr. Dan Guthrie of Pampa, I believe that's what you say, Texas Paranormal Research Society. And he also has just recently published a book. And we'll bring him on in a couple minutes. Listeners, let me say if you hear my voice going or I'm struggling with it, it is kind of sore tonight. And I woke up that way and it's still that way. So let's knock on wood and I ain't going to be like a pig later. I did eat like a pig last night, so maybe that's why. Okay. All right. But first, Annette and I would like to make an announcement, and hopefully the other radio hosts listening to this broadcast will do the same thing for our listeners who may find themselves unemployed in this time frame in their life. Remember, you and your family come first. Ghosts and spirits in the spiritual world will take care of themselves. They've been doing it for years. But you have to take care of yourself and your family first. The United States Census 2010 is looking for different levels of census managers. Okay? The pay is great, from $22.50 to $30.75. And it allows you to work in your own community. Okay? This isn't something I came across on the internet, like coupons or anything else. This is, I actually picked it up in the local government community center, basically here in my neighborhood, when I went in to get my stickers for the automobiles. So I'll give you the webpage, all right? And I picked it up at City Hall. The website for the information is www.census.gov/ROCHI/www.2010jobs.html. Okay? We'll announce it later again before the end of the show, just to help individuals out. So we got to help each other. So don't you agree on that?
I do. With the way the economy is right now and people just feeling like, oh, I can't find anything, maybe these kinds of things are out there waiting for you. You never know, you might have a good fit with it.
And here's, like, even I told Kathy, I go, this is a federal government job. You know, you may be in for life if, you know, they like what you're doing there. Who knows? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. And that's not a bad group to be tied up with. At least you're on their side.
Right. They seem to be the in crowd, yeah.
Yeah, they've been known to take care of their own somehow, some way, for some reason. So, Just look at the post office, you know what I'm saying? Perfect example. So, or your city workers. or your first Forest Reserve workers. So, that's a perfect example. We'll make the announcement later. And got a couple dates coming up, and Annette will give a fast read-off about what she's got coming up, but something was just arranged or asked for me to participate in. It'll be this coming Saturday, May 23rd, Resurrection Mary Tour with Ursula Bielski. And since this area has been my playground for all my life, as I've lived all my life only 5 minutes from Resurrection Cemetery and 10 minutes from the haunted Willow Springs area, I've been asked to participate in the tour and give my experiences on the haunted locations. Also, the cemetery we will be visiting, okay? And this will also include a dinner, and I'll give my demonstration of using my abilities to control dowsing rods, but which I got to see recently. So if anybody's interested, just go to ChicagoHauntings.com, ChicagoHauntings.com, and that's limited amount of seating, so feel free to do that. Sunday, May 31st, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. or longer, psychic readings with Janelle and I at Julia Victorian Mansion. It's a haunted mansion, a Victorian tea party, and readings in the Victorian parlor. Just come on out to 206 North Broadway Street, Julian, Illinois. There will be a $10 fee for the tea party, pay to the owners of the mansion, and it's only $20 gift offering for psychic readings by Janelle or me. Janelle will be doing readings with runes, pendulum, and spirit board. I'll be doing my thing. For more information, just go to edwardshanahan.com and click on the events in that. Then, it's getting closer, Saturday, June 13th, the Beyond the Veil Overnighter at the Haunted Insane Asylum in Peoria, Illinois, Bartonville Insane Asylum. Will be just ours for the night, for the one night. I don't think there's any more I can say about this. We have videos up on the website of a daytime tour. We have the interview that Annette and I did with Mr. J.C. from the Insane Asylum. And as it gets closer, I'm getting a little bit more on edge. For more information, listeners, let's go to hauntedhistoriclocations.com. That's hauntedhistoriclocations.com, and it's in the events section with the video, the recording, the interview we had with JC, and stuff like that. Okay, and Annette, we got coming up June 20th.
Yeah, the weekend of summer solstice, we've got Tutti and Simie. It's a universal gathering for pagan or like-minded alternative religion people. Rosina will be coming on our Unexplained World Blog Talk Radio show on June the 14th to give us all the details, where to go, what to bring, who you'll meet there, things that are going on. But it's we'll be in the in one of the groves or, you know, the forest preserves there, and Ed and I will have a Unexplained World information booth, and all kinds of stuff goes on that day. Music, seminars, classes, circles for all.
Come on out. We'll have more information as it comes up. We're going to have Rosina on our show. Like I said, listeners, I've been feeling under the weather, so just bear with me. And Annette will be post. She'll send me more of the information. I'll post it on the website, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yep. And do some demonstrations there, meet and greet, and say hi to everybody. Annette Roy says hi to you, one of our regular listeners. And I think it's about time. Yeah, I think it's about time we bring on Dan. Let's see. Let's click on the button, the on-air button. Hello, Dan. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Dan. Good evening.
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. Dan Guthrie.
I just want to say thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, I'm happy you got through. You were questioning if, you know, you might be able to get through or not. And
yeah.
Believe me, Friday night I didn't know if we were even going to have a show because of some virus I caught. But I worked it out between now and between then and now. So, and Annette, you don't know about this, okay? You know, I've been feeling a little under the weather the last week or so. I posted a show for starting at 9 a.m. today. And if it wasn't for Dan contacting me, you know, email, a little panicking, and I don't blame him, I would have, we were there for no show for 9 o'clock, so I went back in and reset it for tonight. So.
Oh, good. See? Sometimes
I woke up this morning and I had that warning on my email saying that you're about to be on. I'm like, what? So.
Dan.
Yes.
Yeah. Am I pronouncing this right when I say Papa?
No, it's Pampa.
Pampa?
Oh, like
okay.
Tampa. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
the
Pampa, Texas Research Society.
Okay. And what is the Pampa Research Society do? You're the founder of it, so.
Yes, I am.
Tell me what it's all about.
Well, we're a paranormal group here in the northern panhandle of Texas. We got like 24 members on our team, but we don't use them all on all of our locations. We use them as needed for each case as they arise. We're probably the only group up in this part of Texas. I think the other group is close to us, about 3 hours away. So we got a pretty good size area to cover, and it's pretty active around this area. I got started in this a couple of years ago because I had some problems with the paranormal, and I was trying to get help, and it took a long time to get somebody to come up here, and that's what I wrote my book about. I basically had to self-taught myself to become an investigator myself on the research and finding evidence for these other groups that were supposed to come up, and they backed out from coming.
Do we know why they backed out? You had a haunting yourself, is that right?
It was a demonic haunting. Very active house. It was a spirit that followed me home from work one night. And it woke up some spirits, I guess, here at the house or whatever, and I ended up having 8 new people in my house. So it was really hard to deal with because one of them was pretty violent. And I was under attack daily. So it was a long time before I got help. And I was glad when I finally did. So it was a group out of Texas, TPRS, they came up. But it took a long time. But all these other groups would hear and see the pictures I would capture, and they said they'll come. And then about a week before, they'd cancel. And wouldn't get back with me after that. So.
And what do you owe that to? Why do you think they were canceling?
Probably because due to the claimings, they probably thought it was just overwhelming. That and maybe possibly from all the evidence that I was sending them, it was too much for them to handle.
Okay.
So when the group actually did show up here, within the first 30 seconds, they encountered a full-body apparition of a child. And they first asked me, is that my daughter? And I said, my kids are grown. They no longer live here. So they saw her, and they got set up pretty fast.
Let me ask you a question, Dan, because this is out of curiosity. The part of Texas you're in, would it be considered at one time old western town or anything like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
There was, the Adobe Wall War here. There was a big battle between the buffalo hunters and the Indians. And that caused a lot of the activity in this area because they would fight against each other and the Indians would slaughter any settlers that came in this area. And where my house is located is right on the edge of a burial ground. So from what I heard from the old-timers when I did my research in this area, instead of moving the bodies, they just moved the markers and just built the houses over them.
Sweet.
So there's quite a bit of activity here, but there's also back from doing all my research about 10, 12 years back, there was the cult that was very active in this area. It still is now, but not like it was then. They would open up doorways that they couldn't close and left the problem for somebody else to worry about. And so that's where my team steps in now, and we're going in and dealing with it and closing portals as we go along.
How do you go about doing that, may I ask?
I have a specialist on my team that takes care of that. He specializes in white magic, which he used to use in Dallas area with the group to fight against black magic. And he's come very useful with the group because after he goes in and helps me out and closing these portals and stuff, the house settles down.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of hard to explain. In order to really see what was going on, you would have to spend a night with us on a case. It's pretty wild. And we do live stream a lot of our cases. We try to go live when we can. If we can't, we go ahead and stream it the following night. So
okay.
There's a lot
of... Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask, how many cases, Dan, has your group been able to help, you know, where you found, like, a satisfying answer to a problem?
99% of them.
Well, great.
So we're a pretty good group. I had a hard time at first because I would have to deal with it myself. And then as my team started growing, I would train them the way that they should be doing things from all my research and studies. And we're a pretty good group. You know, everybody has their own forte in what they do in the group. And when we get into a situation after we can't debunk nothing, we take care of the problem. You know, but 80% of our cases are demonic. And at least they have been so far. We keep looking forward to having a case that's not, which we call the fun case. And we just finally landed one last week. I mean, we were glad, so... We get tired of getting beat up by demons and bad spirits. So
I'm gonna play devil's advocate here. No pun intended. What makes you determine that it's demonic?
Because they do show themselves to us. I have my mediums, so I'm also my sensitive. I'm also a sensitive myself. And when we get into these cases, and when my demonologist comes in, which is the one that works with the white magic, when him and I work together, they always come out and show themselves to us. All of our cases are pretty wild. It's just not like going in and you hear a few knocks. All of our cases, when we go in, these spirits will interact with us. They always do.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't go in and provoke them. So... We go in and take care of, you know, each case as they arise. And we had one case that was interesting where a demonic spirit was took control of a child spirit and was using the child spirit against the owner and making the owner want to, or giving thoughts to the owner to kill his family. And we went in.
Well,
and,
what makes, okay, what, yeah, how do you determine it's not in the individual's head?
Because the demon itself came out of the child spirit. We actually witnessed this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And right then, I knew it wasn't normal to begin with because of the way it was acting. Because if you've done as many demonic cases as we go along, because we learn from each one, and we learn from our mistakes, too. And as we do more and more of these, we get pretty good at. But even though not all of them are demonic, some could be pretty negative. A lot of people think, oh, everything's demonic, and it's not. But like I said, here, the black or the occult, God was really a big thing in this area, and they opened up a lot of stuff and brought in things that people didn't want to mess with. So that just made things hard for us.
And what type of an occult group do you think it was?
Satanic. A bunch of devil worshippers and stuff, and you know you can still talk to the kids now, and they'll tell you where the groups hang out at and where they go.
Hmm.
Are you Christian by any chance?
I'm Catholic.
Okay. All right. I'm just asking, because personally, and you know, I have not come with all I've done in places I've been. I'm still waiting for my. Who knows, it may be on the 13th, waiting for my first demonic, you know, experience. I've come across, you know, spirits, nasty spirits, whatever, but nothing that can be controlled, you know.
Yeah,
so,
I know there's a lot of areas where they don't have to deal with demonic, and trust me, once you do, you're never going to forget it because it can get pretty scary, but that's just something you can't show when dealing with them. Once you get into a situation where you're dealing them one, you know, back to back, you actually feel sorry for the families. But the more demonic issues you do get kind of used to it and how they do it. But you also got to protect yourself because you can get hurt, and many of my team members have, even myself.
Now, Dan, as a sensitive, is this something that you have to live with every day? I mean, obviously, okay.
Yeah, I talk about it in my book, too, because I was kind of born with it. But for their after my teenage years, I kind of blocked it out for a while because I just got tired of dealing with it. And then, I moved to Texas back in the mid-'80s. And, I guess it started back up again. I started opening up again and started seeing them and dealing with them again. But I didn't want to interact with them. I could see them, and I still do. It's just a matter if they know I see them or not. If I do get into a situation where they know I'm aware of them, a lot of times they'll show me how they passed away, if it was just natural death or if it was something or if they were murdered or something like that. And it can be scary sometimes.
Yeah, bad.
Listeners, our call-in number is 646-915-9653. Go ahead, Annette, if you have anything.
Yeah, you said that you had 8 new people living in the house. So now
they were 8 spirits.
Okay, I understand. Sorry. I put it the same way, people. Okay, so the 8 spirits that you had where you live, are they still there, just under control, or were you able to
rid of some of them. I finally had my team come in. They bugged me for about a year to come in, and I wouldn't allow it because of the fact that anytime I try to train somebody at the beginning stages when I was trying to pull my group in, they would physically get hurt pretty bad. And I even had, when the first group came to investigate, one of the founders literally got attacked. He was a 250-pound man and was taken down to the ground by something. Mm-hmm. And then they had a medium that was even bigger than that, and she was thrown. And then the rest just had things thrown at them. But it was a wild night. But that was just something I told them. I go through that all the time.
Have you ever caught any of this stuff on video?
We tried. In my house, I've gotten stuff getting moved around, but the actual physical attacks, when the groups were here, they had it on their video, but when they went back to review it, it was destroyed. Whatever was here wouldn't let them see it. And that is typical when you get into demonic cases, you're going to lose a lot of evidence. If they don't want you to see it, you're not going to see it.
You know, we had a gentleman one time when we were first starting The Unexplained World, actually, Dan, and he came to visit me to tell me that, you know, he was under attack by these demons. And I think, Ed, I don't know if you can remember, was it like 40 or something by the time he?
20
demons.
Yeah.
Oh, it was unreal,
they were, yeah.
30 or 40. It was crazy. And the poor guy, you know, we just couldn't find any solutions for him. We finally got a hold of a guy, I think it was in Philadelphia, that helped him over the phone. And then he kind of, you know, did the same thing where he started understanding them and was able to turn them away, and it didn't faze him as much. You know, once he had an understanding of it, I think it really helped. And then his technique was to call upon his helper spirits, which he didn't really believe in the beginning, but came to later because out of essentially need. Is that kind of like something that you've had to do too? Do you find that your religion or your faith, it plays a key role in how you control these demonic spirits?
Well, just from what I experience, a lot of it's just it's in your mind. You've got to know how to control it, and for me, it just comes natural. So it's just hard to explain. As for spirits attaching themselves to you, that is something that I have dealt with other people, but not personally myself, and been able to help them get over it.
So in this house,
that they would confront you and they would attack you, and sometimes they would attack you from a lot of times it was from behind. You wouldn't see them coming.
Yeah. So if you moved out of your house, you don't think those spirits would follow you then?
If the demonic entity is anywhere to be found, yes, they will. A demon will do that. also bring whatever they want to bring with them. That's one thing about demonic cases, the demons. The more spirits they have around them, the more powerful they get. And they're going to try to bring in everything they possibly can.
Hmm.
Because there's been, every demonic case that we've worked on, there's always been multiple spirits in the house. And that was because, and they were all under the control of the, of that one certain demon.
Yeah.
It gets kind of wild. It's just, it's really hard to explain until you actually experience it for yourself. When you
I'm still waiting till experience. I'm still waiting. I'm hoping the 13th.
My poor Ed. You know, he wants it to happen, and once it does, he's not going to want it. Am I right, Mr. Guthrie?
Right, because after you start dealing with demons and stuff, they get to know you before you even get in the house. And anybody on my team will tell you, because a lot of times, like in our dreams when we sleep, whatever's in this coming up case or whatever we have will actually confront some of us to try to scare us from coming. And it happens quite a bit.
Well, Larry, I've come across evil in the living. I've talked about this in the past.
Okay.
Somebody that basically opened vortexes and stuff like that.
Right.
He was a worshiper of it. He actually at times got paid to do his dirty deeds from where he was at. And even he told me up into and including people, you know, becoming very, very injured to the, you know, allegedly by him even dying. But he did prove his abilities that night to me. And I just kind of nodded my head, even though it took 6 stitches to close. I nodded my head and, you know, respected the fact of his abilities as he respected my abilities and my internal knowledge of who and what he was. But that's probably the closest I've come to anything, but it was in the living.
Right.
I haven't come across it in the spiritual side. And some people, and I believe it was one of our guests we had on the show, on that demonologist, just not that many shows ago, said because of my internal knowledge, my beliefs and stuff like that, the good would always prevail over evil and that they basically won't mess with me. So I might be losing out on something. I may still yet experience it. I don't know. But I did experience it in the living. And I'm a firm believer in you need both black and white to balance out the, you know, the world.
Exactly.
It'll never be all white, you know. So you need a balance.
Well, if it was all white, it put us all out of business. We can have to investigate. So.
Yeah.
Do you make a business out of it, Dan? Do you charge people when you go in?
No, I never charge a fee, and I never demand donations or anything else. None of my team members do. We do when a client asks if we take donations, we say, sure we do, you know, if they choose to, but we're not going to require it. I don't believe any team should charge any price to do any kind of investigation, because you can't charge tax or a price on trying to catch a ghost, because you can't prove that you caught it or got rid of it.
Right.
And it just infuriates me when you see those groups out there that try to charge. It's a bunch of crap. And any other reason, you know, respectable group will tell you the same thing.
Good. Yeah,
do you,
people are in need like that. They just need it.
Let me ask you, being in Texas and that, you got a, do you have a lot of what I guess you'd call ghost towns from the old West that aren't livable or people don't live in? Have you ever gone in those type of areas?
You don't see them anymore. A lot of them will be in private properties, and you got to get permission to get out there to actually see them. And 99% of the time, the owners will not let you out there.
Darn.
There's a few towns that are close to here, which is up towards where the Adobe Wall War is, if you ever research it, where a whole town was wiped out for some reason, for either sickness or something like that, and they had to level the whole town.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on private property, and if you even attempt to go out there without permission, you'll get shot. So, and it's, I think the town had a population back in the 30s, like about 2,000 people. And it was
wow.
there was a lot of babies that died, and people got they got sick, made us level the town.
So basically, what you're saying, actual ghost towns, basically people have bought up the area and they own their, you know,
yes.
the properties. Darn, those would be cool to go into. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And seeing what you experience. Oh man. Oh well.
we try. You know, there are some towns that are still going, and they still have some of the old 1800 buildings.
Yeah.
A lot of them, you know, like those type of places, you can go to during the daytime, but they won't let you come in during the nighttime because they don't want
mm-hmm.
to be responsible for anybody getting hurt, even though we have paperwork signing waivers on that. They just don't want us to do it. So, and I can understand them, you know, which is fine.
Oh, yeah. Have you ventured out there during the day at any time?
I went to Old Mobile Jail Museum, which was the first, I guess, kind of like the first jail that was built in the northern part of Texas. It was built back in 1871, I think it was. And the building still stands still. The only thing that's different is they remodeled the inside a little bit, and they moved the stairway. And I went in there to take some pictures one day and some EVP work, but I was taking pictures and where I guess you would say be the warden's quarters. And there was a woman that was sitting on the bed that I could see in a reflection of a mirror. And I caught her in picture by doing that, but trying to take the actual picture towards the bed, you wouldn't see her. And then I had voices of her calling my name and saying hello to her. She would say, "Hello, sir," and then she would say, "Hello, Dan." And then we would go around to where they used to hang the prisoners there, because they used to hang them inside the jail. It would drop from the second floor down into one of the bottom cells. And I gone around and I went to the bottom cell and I got a picture of a spirit hanging. And there was voices there saying, "Get out." So,
huh?
It was
very. Yeah, that would be interesting. That would be right up my alley. To find a place like that.
And the shadows and the figures that you see, they're Confederate soldiers from back then, way back when. And even your Buffalo soldiers. So,
okay, cool.
It's
cool.
Kind of cool.
Yeah. Have you ever just offered to give any tours of those type of locations for general public, let's say?
I'm working on it. I'm trying to get something like that going where these people will do it. In fact, one of the somehow we got a hospital here in town in Pampa that's called Worley Hospital that is, I guess, hit the top 10 most haunted places in Texas, but the owner won't let nobody in because they don't believe in spirits. But even so, I keep bugging them because they're, in fact, the people that own it now live across the street from me. And I keep bugging them saying, well, if these people keep bugging you, then let my group go in and prove or disprove that it is haunted or not. There's nothing there. We'll put the word out, and it'll be the end of it.
Yeah, yeah.
If they won't do it. So, not yet anyhow, but I might get them to come around eventually.
Well, I'll have to email you and tell you how to do it, how to get around it.
I also told them if it was haunted, then you can charge a fee for, you know, letting a group come in and investigate or something.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Something like that, and make a little money and be able to restore it. And
yeah.
They're like, but our group did get done doing for the city of Allen Reed, which you can't even find on the map, I don't think, anymore, which is the oldest cemetery there on Route 66. And we went in and did a full investigation with our quads and cameras, and we got caught up in a dust storm, but we still had a quite a bit of evidence and stuff that was caught. We got footages of shadows moving around, voices, and cameras getting moved around. It was kind of neat. And now the whole town wants us to do a reveal for them next month. So we're looking forward to that.
Good.
When you go in and do your investigations, is it primarily residential or is it more of these community-type places?
Most of ours are residential. About 99% of it is, in fact.
Okay.
We're trying to get to some of the businesses and stuff, but they're just kind of shying away because they've had bad luck with other groups that – or wannabe groups that came up here and just made it bad for them.
Yeah.
I'm trying to earn their trust to let us come in.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Now, what's your book about?
My book is about my personal experiences as growing up with my sensitive part of me, being able to deal with spirits and interaction with them up to the point to where I talk about how this nasty spirit or demon encountered with me, you know, my encounters with it, and how it followed me home, and how I had to deal with it until I had help. It's not a real big book. It's like 67 pages long, but there's a lot of information in there, which talks about from how I was getting beat up and having to deal with it and live with it every day, and then trying to get these groups to come in and wouldn't come in, and then when I finally did, we ended up having two groups that finally did show up. We had the first one that came in. They did their investigation, found eight spirits. And then because of that night, the group split up. But I don't know if it was because of my house or their personal differences or what, but they just split. And they weren't able to come right back, so they ended up helping me find another group called TexPark out of Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And they came up, and they found the same thing, but they came up with a whole different approach, where everybody was fine until they broke down the following day. I was helping to move their cameras, and I literally got attacked in the hallway. And one of their members was trying to get me up, and he got attacked. And so they started taking pictures as I'm walking down the hall, and there's this demonic-looking spirit walking behind me. After that, they left. They didn't come back. But, well, I'll take that back. They did come back probably a couple months later on. And when they came back the second time, also the group from Lubbock, the main guy there that was helping me, his name's Paul, they teamed up, and we had the newspaper join us to show that we have a group up here too. And when they came in, the demonic entity wasn't in here that night. But the negative one was the one that was real pissed off, and it moved some things around. And it got the local media to say, hey, there's something going on here.
Where can people find your... now, it comes in a PDF form, I know that.
Right.
Does it come back in a regular book form, too?
Yeah, it comes in paperback or online e-book. Well, let me post it up here in the chat room.
All right.
Let me get it here. Where you can buy
well,
it.
Not everybody listens on chat. Plus,
right.
You know, we got a tremendous amount of downloads as far as our podcast go.
Well, you can go to www.ebookstand.com/book, lower column, I guess you call it, hyphen, and then details/a, lower whatever, Haunted Life. Or you can just go to ebook.com and then look up A Haunted Life, and you'll be able to find it.
Okay.
A Haunted
okay.
Life, okay.
But
you,
also, you can also go to my group site, and you'll find information there, too. If you go to www.pampaparanormal.ming.com, I have a section there where you can actually, it'll tell you more and where you can find it.
Perfect.
All right. Do you have any photographs on your website?
Yes, I do.
Of any of these experiences?
Yeah, we got it from my house and many of our cases.
Okay, cool. Now, you don't publish the locations of the cases, do you?
No, we don't. No, we
okay.
don't. All of our pictures right. are done inside. The only one that we were allowed to actually say where it was at was Alan Reed. And everybody knows that one there, you can't, all the cemeteries here, you're not allowed to go after dark. If you do, you will get arrested. And so you got to have special permission to go in. And the ones here in Pampa themselves, they don't mind if I come in during the daytime, but at night they just absolutely refuse it because they don't want kids coming around and trying to destroy our tombstones and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I can understand that. I think I've gotten permission from one location, one cemetery to go in at night. And, you know, unfortunately we had a police officer with us that, you know,
yeah.
had ties to it. So that yeah, made the difference in the world, of course. So what do you got planned for the future, sir?
Well, we're booked up every weekend as it is now. I've been asked to be a guest speaker in Florida At Amelia Island at the Florida House Inn, see June 12th to the 14th. I've been asked to come in and talk about demonology and negative spirits and how you can tell the difference. And it's a pretty big event. I got that on my site, too, if people are interested in reading about it and possibly going. They're supposed to have a lot of guest speakers there. It's mainly what it's called is Ghost Hunting 101 for Beginners.
Okay.
And
I'm going
to... educational for those groups that are starting out.
Okay. I'm gonna ask you some questions. Okay.
Okay.
You get called in to go into a house or whatever. Somebody's
right.
having problems. How do you determine that it's not the person themselves and maybe them thinking out of sorts? You know, that's not just happening in their head. How do you determine that, first of all?
Well,
that's got to be the hardest thing.
It is the hardest part. Before I bring my team in, I'll have one other member of myself go in, depending on the claimings. And we'll actually go in and sit down and interview the owner and then do a initial walkthrough of the house and just kind of get a feeling for what's going on. Usually my co-founder, Jeremy, and I will sit down, and we pretty much know after talking with the owner if they're nuts or not. And then from what I'm able to pick up on, if there's something there, I'll see it. If I don't see it, I'll definitely hear it and feel it before they will.
Okay. All right. I had this situation myself. I told the owner it wasn't a spirit to really worry about. It's just one that wanted to be noticed.
Right.
And once you give them what they're expecting as far as, that they're there. And what do you do when the owner wants it to be something more than that?
I put it down the line and I tell them it's not that. I've had a case, we dealt with a case where I think they kept trying to bring it back. They wouldn't let it go. And we go in and do everything possible to sell down the house because there was for some reason they refused to leave the location.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go in, sell them down, and everything would be fine for a couple of days. Then all of a sudden, the wife would call my co-partner or my case manager in the middle of the night and saying, they're going to kill me. They're going to hurt my kids and stuff like that. And we go the next day, and there's nothing wrong with the house. The spirits are a little bit stirred up again. And we sell them down, leave. Everything's fine for a few days, and same thing happens again. And so I end up bringing a whole new team, basically, because they're so big, in and actually do another full investigation. And they found out the same thing like I did over the first team. These spirits just want to be left alone, too, and the wife is just kind of provoking them and just pissing them off. So we told her, you got to stop it. Once you stop this and stop forcing your kids to see this stuff and putting it in their heads that they're going to be heard,
everything's fine.
And so I guess she listened, and the house settled down. The next thing we knew, they went ahead and moved out anyhow. I guess the husband got tired of it.
Honey.
We had a location out here in the Chicagoland area, basically Melrose Park, that it's an old factory from World War II. And what happened was the people that took over the building, they created a, it stands year-round, but they created a haunted house, a Halloween haunted house.
Right.
And they were having problems in there. And I walked into the place. They finally called me out. Annette remembers John. John first went out there with his buddy, and then they called me out there. And I told him, I said, dude, this is a playground for spirits. He goes, what do you mean? I go, this is what they did, Dan. Great sets, great. I mean, thank God the person who created the sets had an outlet for his morbid way of thinking, but what they did is they did these elaborate sets with items from estate sales of people who died. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they basically had, if you know what psychometry is in that, they basically had a playground for the spirits, with all these dead people's items, in this humongous place. So I told them, I don't think you're going to get rid of the spirits, because they had three people out there that went through rituals and all that. The spirits left for about 3 months, and they came back. I said, why? This is a playground for them,
Exactly.
Look at all the energy of the items that you got in this place. You know, the wife finally divorced the husband. The wife was freaking out over the place, you know, and by what I heard,
right.
Allegedly the wife divorced, got out of the situation, and that, you know, but yeah, it was highly active. There's a video on our website of the place, and you can see the morbid, you know, like I said, thank God the guy who created the sets had an outlet for his imagination, you know.
Yeah.
So, or he should have been an author, one of the two. But, well, I find it interesting, don't you, Annette?
I do. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I know
yeah.
one thing I was told by a founder of a group that's been doing it for a long time, and which I found to be pretty well true. She had told me that every place is haunted. It's just a matter if they're active or not. Because you can go anywhere with a recorder, and you're going to get EVPs, daytime or not, and it may not even be an active, so-called active place.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go to an active place, you're going to get the same thing. So,
yeah. I'm a firm believer we got spirits all around us.
Oh, yes, all the time.
Yeah. And I usually find that it's the young souls compared to the old souls that get spooked by them, more
right.
so than, you know, the old souls... they're not spooked. They're pretty much, you know, investigators in there. You're not one that needs proof that they're there. A lot of these people need proof that they're spirits, and I think that's why they're on the, you know, bandwagon to find out what they call the truth.
Right.
But, yeah, so. Annette, do you have any questions?
Hmm.
I'm throwing it to you because my voice is going. You pretty much covered everything, Dan.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty satisfied with, you know, the questions that I had in my mind before we started the call.
Yeah.
Good.
What would you, Dan, not comparing your group, but what would you recommend for people who are looking for help as far as determining, you know, if the people they're calling can actually help them? Or even prove. How's that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, in order to pick out a group to come, you need to find out who's willing to come, because you got a lot of groups out there that just want to go out and just get spooked and have a good time, and then you got groups out there that actually help. You've got to look at their background. You got to look to see what kind of cases they've been doing. You know, you get people that are just do like cemeteries and that's it. So they're just basically spirit seekers, as I look at it. They're just going out and looking for a little thrill. To compare it to people that go out and actually try to help the family and what they have and deal with it. And that's where my team comes in, and we do go in and we find out what it is, and we will stick with the client until we deal with it. One way or another, we'll come up with some kind of answers. If we can't figure it out, we'll get somebody in there that can.
Yeah. Okay. And going back to there, wouldn't you agree, at least this is what I've seen, that some people will, you know, even if there's nothing there, come up with something being there just to make them look like they're good. And, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm right.
It's real hard for individuals to pick out somebody.
Yeah.
I got to say, it has to be real hard. You know.
I get
fortunately,
a lot of people on the streets that just come and, you know, come up to me and say, because knowing what I do, because I live in a small town, they'll come on and they'll say, look at my cell phone, look at these pictures I got. And I said, that don't prove nothing to me.
No.
That don't prove nothing to me. The only way I'm going to, you know, if it came off my camera or one of my team members' cameras, then I'll look a little more at it. But looking at
yeah.
the cell phone, you can imagine it's something, and it may not be anything.
And let me tell the listeners, let me let them know, if they go to, I'm not going to say the website, but there is a thing sold out there that you can make spirits look like spirits have appeared on your cell phone or your video camera and stuff like that. So just don't take it for granted. Like Dan said, don't take it for granted that it might be the real thing.
That's right.
Somebody walks up to you. I had to break the news to somebody that way because he showed me the images. I seen them that his friend took. Okay.
Right.
And I seen him because his friend texted him to him, and it was right. And his friend knew that the guy was gullible, I guess you could say,
right.
in a nice way. And when I seen images, I had to break the news to him. No, dude, that's from this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the guy was heartbroken, you know, but
yeah.
He'd rather tell him the truth than be misled, you know. And because his friend said he took it in his house, you know, in this guy's house.
Right.
You know? So the guy was thinking that this thing was in his house, but it was a complete duplicate of this thing you could buy on the internet.
Yeah, because a lot of times you get stuff like that. People can trick you and make you think you've got something, and where your house could be selling, and you're going to think, oh, I got something, you know. And
mm-hmm.
I run into a lot of that, and right off the bat, I'll straighten it out and tell them, no, you know, you don't have nothing going on here.
Well,
you have that advantage from being sensitive to it, though, where many investigators really don't.
Right.
Yeah.
And then,
it's like
know,
that lady I was talking about. She's, you know, she had it said in her head that it was an evil spirit. I said, no. Matter of fact, it was a child. Well, I'm going to call some investigators. I said, well, go ahead. I'm still not going to change my mind. You know, so. And that was the last. And I pretty much just steered away from the private houses because of that type of mind frame of some of the people. So.
In fact, now, when it comes to our cases, you know, we get a lot of people that think they've got something really bad. I won't tell them what it is at first, even though my team members and myself will know right off the bat, because normally we don't want to freak them out more than what they already are.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll try to deal with it before trying to tell them. And after we take care of the problem, and if it is a demon in the house, and we do get it out of the house, then we'll tell them, yeah, you had a demon, and this is what it was, but we're not going to tell you how we got rid of it or who it was, because the saying is, when you deal with demons, if you get a name, you never want to say it out loud to somebody, because then you just open a doorway for it to go to that person.
Yeah.
You always want to keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to get a demon's name. It's extremely hard. So in my case, if we can't get a name, we're definitely going to get a description of it, because there are sites you can go and get descriptions of what these demons are and what they do. But defeating them, you have to know somebody that knows how.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my demonologist comes in play.
Okay.
I bring him out in the open, and he chases them out of the location. So we work as a pretty good team.
Good, good. Dan, I want to say thank you for being on tonight.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
And we only got a few minutes left, and I will be closing that part of the show up. But I want to say thank you again for being on tonight. It was very interesting, very, very interesting.
Yeah.
And if I ever make it down to Texas, I'll make sure I look you up.
Do so.
And if you ever come up to Chicago, look our direction too. I'll take you a couple places. And see what you pick up. So, one question. Has President Bush called you yet or anything about demons in his place? No? I guess not, huh?
Not yet.
No? Okay.
We'll
see
on that one. So.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of demons there. All right. So, you take care, Dan.
You too.
And, nice
to good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Nice guys, huh? What's
very nice. Very nice.
I would love to get out to I wish those old ghost towns were still, you know, active, you know what I'm saying, for people. I would love to.
Yeah, you can get in there and visit. I'm sure there are a few. There's got to be a handful.
Yeah. I believe there's some in Kentucky. I did a search on YouTube for the Paranormal TV of ghost towns, and there's some, but they're more or less like in Colorado, Arizona, like that, you know, more some more of the Wild West, North Dakota or South Dakota, stuff like that, you know,
right.
Areas. So it was interesting to see how him and his team work too, and what they're all involved in.
Right. I know. I give him kudos if they're running into demons at every turn, every weekend. He said he's booked up. You know, I think I would say, wow, I'm tired of this. You know, I got my proof, and wow. Because who wants to run into a demon every night, you know? Well, that doesn't sound like very much fun to me, but I know somebody has to be there to help. Somebody's got to help. So I
like
all the kudos in the world.
Yeah, I'd like to say on our next show, May 31st, we're steering toward having vampires on. And,
kind of an open forum for lots of different kinds of vampires to talk.
Yeah, that's what we're shooting for. So We'll be posting that in about a week or so. Individuals, listeners, people on the chat board, which was a lot tonight, thank you. You can go to theunexplainedworld.com and even sign up for the Yahoo group, or go to hauntedhistoriclocations.com and sign up for the newsletter there. So, and I keep you posted on everything that's coming on. Boy, that medication I'm on is really good. Annette, how long is that? Do you have any idea how long the day is going to be on June 20th with Rosina?
Well, it starts around 10 and goes to maybe like it starts at 11 and goes to about 6 p.m., I think.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a nice big day.
There'll be food and goodies there.
That's right. Bring a dish to pass. That's what is normally the tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
you can go ahead and eat, you know, whether it's, you know, hot dogs or chips or apples or soda or bottled water, whatever it is you have to bring it. And then you sit down and eat with everybody. And everything is free. You know, they will have some vendors there selling incense, candles, you know, those kinds of things. But that would be the only thing you need to bring money for is for vending. But otherwise, it's a nice free day of just, you know, everybody peace and love hanging out in the woods.
We're going to build a fire pit? No.
I don't know if they let you do that out in the woods anymore unless you have
a
pavilion thing with one of those in there, you know.
Yeah. Okay. I'll be doing some demonstrations. Me and Annette will be together. And, you know, I may even offer to throw out for free. Leave people know if they're a young soul, old soul, if they come up by looking at their palms. So I'll even do that. I'll throw that out. I got to keep myself interested, too. So, I'm not one just to sit, as the night knows. Yeah.
Gotta have something to do.
Yeah. That'll be June 20th, and we'll have more information on that. And, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, next Saturday, I'll be on Resurrection Ghost Tour with Ursula Bielski, and information can be found at, I'll tell you in a second, ChicagoHauntings.com. May 31st, Janelle and I will be doing readings at the Joliet Victorian Mansion. And also Victorian Tea Party will be all day there, too. Then, again, another announcement, Sunday, May 31st will be the, not May 31st, June 13th will be Beyond the Veil Overnighter, when we'll be in the Insane Asylum in Peoria, Illinois. Ghost Box, Michelle, Laps Paranormal Team, which Annette really, really enjoys that team, the Paranormal Team, so with Manny and company. So they'll be out there joining us, too. I can't get Annette to go, but still looking for her to have her good scare.
That's a long trip for Mama to leave the babies.
you'll be gone by, you'll be leaving when they go to bed, and you'll be back by the time they get up. Or right after
that. Right, without a darn wink of sleep for me.
It won't be the first time, will it?
Oh, honey, kids grow up so fast, too fast.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Listeners, thank you very much for listening. People in chat, thank you for all that tuned in. And we'll be back May 31st. Annette, I'll call you in a couple minutes. And listeners, good night. And
blessed be.
Bye-bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.